Hello, my name is Nate. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from addiction to pornography, which is really driven by pride in my life. Let's pray, all right? Lord, I just ask that you'd help us tonight. Help us to understand your design for our body, our mind, and our sexuality. May we glorify you in all that we do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, mamas, put your babies to bed tonight because we're going to talk about something that makes a few people blush around here. So we are going to talk about masturbation. And that is not a topic that you hear spoken a lot about in church. You know, how many people in the church that they were growing up in actually had this talked about from the stage? I only see two hands. How many of you did your parents talk about this with you in your home? Three hands, right? This is a hands-off topic, right? You know, this is a touchy one. I mean, it really is. And so, you know, we are at Watermark. We don't keep our hands off. We want to get a firm grasp of these topics as we talk about them. So, y'all, hold on. It's going to be a ride, all right? All right. Well, there are a lot of reasons, you know, why churches stay away from this topic. You know, one, there's all kinds of guilt and shame, you know, that people really wrestle with this. They really also are concerned about talking about this in mixed company because they don't want to put any stumbling blocks in front of others. But another reason why they don't talk about it a lot is because Scripture's silent on this topic. The Bible says zero about masturbation. Now, it does talk about nocturnal emissions, but that's really in the context of the cleanliness laws of the Old Testament. There was the sin of Onan where he spilled his seed on the ground, but that really wasn't about masturbation. It was about him not carrying on his duty to carry on the bloodline that's there. And so Scripture is silent on this topic. And so a lot of times there's not a lot of really great instruction on it. But this is a big deal. For some of you, it's a little deal, but this is a big deal, okay? And so masturbation is really not just physically stimulating yourself for sexual excitement to the point of orgasm, but this is really a battle of both your flesh and your mind. Masturbation really takes one of the greatest gifts that God's given us, this desire for sexual oneness with another person, and masturbation corrupts that and turns it inward. It takes a great gift of imagination that he's given us to create and think about new things and be much like God in terms of how we create and think forward, be producers in the land, and it corrupts our imagination and turns us inward. And so this is a big deal. And not only that, but this is pervasive. And so I'm going to start by talking about some myths because we don't talk about this that much in the church or in our own lives or maybe even in your own families. One, you know, I think there's a myth that's out there for, I know that there are people here that have wrestled with this their whole life and are stuck. And you're out there and you're thinking, am I the only one that struggles with this? Well, as Liz mentioned earlier, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has seized you but what is common to man. And I will tell you that this is an issue that almost the majority of the people in this room have struggled with at some point or another. Another myth that's out there is if you're single, you're sitting out there and go, hey, this issue will go away when I get married. Married folks, does marriage solve issues? No. All right. Now, you will have a sexual outlet, but I will tell you, the seeds that you're sowing right now, you carry into marriage. And just because you're married and have a sexual outlet, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're not going to be tempted with this any longer, or it's not going to rear its head in your marriage. All right? I heard this one when I was growing up. Well, I have to masturbate, otherwise it'll harm my body. All right? Folks, you're not going to go blind. You're not going to shrivel up like a raisin. All right? Your body will adjust, you know, to your sexual activity. All right? You might explode in the night like a volcano or something, you know, but I am telling you that your body will adjust, okay? You're not going to harm yourself. I had this one time. A guy said, well, it's okay for me to masturbate if I don't lust. We said, well, what do you think about? Well, I think about baseball. Newsflash, when you sexualize an object, we call that a fetish, all right? And when you attach all those powerful chemicals in your brain to objects or other thoughts that are out there, it will come back to haunt you in other places. If this guy goes to a baseball game, seventh inning stretch, you know, he's going to be struggling with hot flashes. You know, someone's going to have their when Harry met Sally moment. I'll have what he's having. You know, it's not, this is not healthy. All right. And so it's not okay to sexualize objects. How about this one? It's never okay to masturbate. That is a myth. All right. Scripture's silent on this topic. And so you want to be firm where it's firm, flexible where it's flexible. And so some of you are out there, okay, where's the loophole? Where do I get out of this thing? You're taking notes now. We'll talk about that later on how to determine what's a good litmus test for something that's not real clear in Scripture. We'll talk about that later. But there are times where it may be possible that this is not necessarily sinful for you. And then I was just talking, another myth that I want to talk about. I was talking with a guy that I was telling him that we're going to talk about masturbation. He goes, why are you talking about that at a recovery meeting? Aren't there bigger problems that are out there, you know, dealing with chemical addictions? And there's this myth that masturbation is really not that big a deal. You know, that it's really one of those things that we just dismiss. And this is where I take personal issue, because this issue has probably caused as much damage or more damage than any other sin in my life. And so there's a lot of harm that's caused by this in ways that we see up right away and then ways that you see later on down the road. First of all, it harms the object of your attention. So a lot of times masturbation occurs when you're looking at pornography or visualizing something, but for those of that have studied the sex industry, you know that the women and the people that are in the videos and the pornography that's out there are really treated terribly. It harms people that are out there. And as you begin to sexualize people, that translates into people that you see that are like them. That at the height of my addiction, I could put anyone that I was around in a sexual situation. And so it made me think of people as objects because I had corrupted my imagination, not just through pornography, but even fantasizing things that I had never seen before. It harms you. Any sin that is kept in secret hurts your fellowship with God. 1 John chapter 1 says, God is light in them, and there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him but continue to walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. And so ongoing habitual sin in your life hurts your fellowship with God. Masturbation can be addictive. When you masturbate to whatever image you're thinking about or seeing, the neurotransmitter dopamine is released in your brain and those endorphins fire off in the pleasure zones of your brain and you begin to lay pathways for dealing with life. And at the height of my addiction to this, I reached the point where I couldn't go to sleep without masturbating. Anytime I felt scared or hurt or afraid, I was tempted to masturbate because I'd taught myself to cope that way with life. And so the hits of those chemicals in your brain are the same ones that happen when you take a hit of cocaine. And so when I started to get some freedom from this, I literally went through withdrawals. Men who immerse themselves in pornography eventually find that it's hard for them to even have sex with a woman because they can only get aroused through a fantasy. This is addictive stuff. You're dealing with addictive chemicals. And probably the biggest thing is this corrupts your imagination. Escaping into fantasy stunts emotional, relational, spiritual growth. And I'm going to quote someone that I love to read, C.S. Lewis, on this topic. He writes, "For me, the real evil of masturbation would be that it takes an appetite, sex, which in lawful use leads the individual out of himself to complete his own personality and that of another, and turns it back, sending the man back into the prison of himself, there to keep a harem of imaginary brides. And this harem, once admitted, works against his ever getting out and really uniting with a real woman. For the harem is always accessible, always subservient, calls for no sacrifice or adjustments, and can be endowed with erotic and physiological attractions which no real woman can rival. And among these shadowy brides, he's always adored, always the perfect lover. No demand is made on his unselfishness. No mortification is ever imposed on his vanity. And in the end, they become merely the medium through which he increasingly adores himself. And so this brings me to my last point on this one, is that masturbation harms your spouse and harms your marriage. And so this was the state of my mind coming into marriage, is that I didn't really know how to deal with a relationship. I didn't know how to pursue a woman outside of sex. And so when it became time for me to take leadership and pursue in my home, and my wife didn't show up at the door naked, if she wasn't overwhelmed with me just because of the great stud that I was, and she didn't want to solve problems with sex, and I had to work to be intimate with her personally before I was intimate with her physically, created distance in our marriage. And the very thing that drove me to be aggressive in my single life sexually is the thing that made me passive, because it risked rejection. And I tied my manhood to how women responded to me. This is harmful stuff, okay? All those seeds were sown when I was single. Final myth that I want to talk about is this is a man's problem. As the sexualization of the culture has increased, we are seeing this increase more and more with women, and I suspect that it was probably there more often than we talked about in the past. And for whatever reason, ladies, the men are ahead of you in this subject. They talk about it. They talk about it in groups. They're trying to work on it in their lives. And a lot of you ladies, because of the shame that's there and the guilt that's there, are hiding and trapped by this. And so I'm going to ask friend Ashley to come up and tell her story of how she struggled with this. But I want you to know that this is not something that you need to be ashamed of. This is a common problem. And we want you to have freedom here in all areas of life, not just those that are respectable. All right? Come on.
Hi, my name is Ashley. I have a new life in Christ, and I am recovering from an addiction to pornography and masturbation, anxiety and depression, and pride. Hello. Before I came to Regeneration, my life was in utter chaos, and no one knew it. I was secretly addicted to masturbation, which started when I was 5 years old and a friend introduced me to it. Over time, I began to depend on it to help me fall asleep, used it as a way to help escape reality when I felt hurt or rejected or upset, and to feel a false sense of control over men in my fantasies when I felt less than or unloved by others and when my life felt out of control. I hid my sin struggle for over 20 years, and my secret was eating me alive and sending me further and further into isolation. I tried so hard to control what other people thought of me, because I believed that if people really knew the darkest parts of me, it would confirm what I already knew to be true. I am broken, dirty, and worthless, and I will never truly be loved because I will never truly be known. As a result, my relationships were shallow and superficial, though I longed for something deeper. Thinking I was alone in my struggle, I was miserable, and I knew I would carry my secret sin to the grave. When I began Regeneration, I continued to live in shame and guilt for my past. But through fellowship with other women and bringing my sin into the light, I began to experience the truth of 1 John 1:7-9. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. The Lord began shedding my deep-rooted shame and rebuilding my sense of worth and self in him. Each time I shared my story, I experienced a new level of freedom and excitement in my life. What began as an ugly wound is now healed, and I'm able to point other women to healing in Christ, and I'm free from the guilt and shame that held me in bondage. Because of Christ, my life today is radically different. I have freedom from that past struggle, and I no longer hide behind a mask. I know my identity and worth is found solely in the Lord as his child whom he loves deeply. I'm not finished. God is still changing me. I still struggle with letting my mind wander into dangerous territory. And if unchecked, I know it could lead me straight back down the path from which I came. But I trust that God's plan is better and more life-giving than my fleshly desires. The path I was on led only to death in my relationship with God and others. And true acceptance and fulfillment can only be found in Him. If I could encourage you with one thing, it would be this. You are not alone. I thought I was alone. I thought I would always be a slave to my sin, and those are lies. Freedom can be found in Christ and only in Christ, and if you will trust His power alone to save you, you can be free too. My name is Ashley, and I have a new life in Christ. I'm recovering from an addiction to pornography and masturbation, anxiety and depression, and pride. To God be the glory.
Awesome.
Ashley just became one of my heroes. To go first is not a small thing, folks. Thank you. So how do we move forward? So I thought I'd run through just some things that have helped me in this temptation and in the struggle. I call them handy tips, all right? here's some great things to remember as you move forward. I think one of the first things to do is just to realize who is master of your domain, all right? Who is master of your domain? You know, your body is not your own. God created us in His image. In our body, just like our minds and our spirits were created to worship Him and worship Him alone. And in fact, it says in Romans 1 that when we turn that worship to something else, one of God's releases of us is just to give us over to our passions. And so one of the very first things that He gives us over to is the thing that is one of the greatest desires that we have, right? It's sexual pleasure. In Romans chapter 1, it says, God gave them up to the lusts of their hearts, to impurity, to dishonorings of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator. So the first thing is to remember is that you were created to worship Him, and your body belongs to Him. And for those of us that have trusted Christ, we even have more of a calling, because now our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 19 and 20, it says, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you are bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Your body belongs to the Lord. And second, your body belongs to your spouse. 1 Corinthians 7, 4 says, for the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his body, but the wife does. God united you in marriage so that you could be one with one another. If you are one, to separate out and to take pleasure yourself apart from that spouse is robbing the opportunity for your spouse to minister to you and for you to come together as one. Your body is not your own. It belongs to the Lord. And to your spouse, who is master of your domain. Second thing to remember is that life within God's design is always best. God's not trying to rip you off. He's trying to give you the best that's out there, okay? So sexual desire is meant to push us towards oneness, mutual pleasure, and service to one another, to make us work through our issues so that we can come together, to cultivate oneness in marriage and relational intimacy so that you can experience the fullness of physical intimacy. 1 Corinthians 7, 5 says, spouses, do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again so that Satan might not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Don't deprive your spouse the opportunity of being part of your sexuality. That is a great gift to share and to invite someone into. And building, and you might be saying, well, great, I'm single. Folks, building intimacy with your spouse starts today. It starts with your single. You have the opportunity to keep your mind uncluttered from all of those things that flood into it. All right? You have the opportunity to build faithfulness, to honor your spouse, whoever they may be. And if you never get married, at least to honor God. Some of you are in here and say, man, I've blown it. I'm going to bring all this baggage into my marriage. I just want to say, God can heal anything for those who surrender to him. So don't be discouraged. Okay, don't be discouraged. You can start today. Third thing to remember is that this struggle is common. 1 Corinthians 10:13, we said it several times here. No temptation has seized you, but what is common to man. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he'll provide a way of escape so that you can stand up under it. Don't let shame keep you in the dark. You can talk about this issue. Everybody kind of knows what you're talking about. Everybody's wrestled with it at some point for the most part. And maybe some of you haven't, but you can at least relate to that desire that's there. Okay? So confess, repent, and ask others to hold you accountable. Parents, if you've got a 14-year-old and he is going through puberty and he's offering to wash his sheets, you know, and he's going for a record and you're scared, don't throw the book at him. Be patient, okay? He's got all kinds of things going on with him. But parents, also don't withdraw and say nothing. This is an absolute opportunity for you to engage with your child, to talk about God's design for sexuality, for sex, how good it is, what he reserved it for, and why they have these desires. Okay? And then remember that victory is possible. Galatians 5:16 says, walk by this spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. And so I don't remember the last time I masturbated. I've been on staff 11 years. It's been longer than that. I confessed to my wife my pornography addiction in 2000, and maybe it's only been a handful of times since that. I just said handful. Handful of times since then. I'm sorry. But if for the most part, God has really given me victory in this area, all right? And you say, well, that's great, you're married. I want you to know that I started to work on this when I was single, and I went a year and a half when I was single. God can give you victory in this, right? It's possible. And then the last thing just to remember is that with any struggle, really, is that temptation is an opportunity. It's an opportunity for you to be transformed. All right. Temptation is an opportunity to be dependent on God, to ask for his help, to rely on his word, to memorize scripture, to go into the battle, to bring your hurts, your desires, your brokenness to him. All right. Temptation is an opportunity for you to examine yourself and say, hey, what's going on inside of me that's driving all these issues? To be vulnerable, to talk about it with your spouse, to say, I don't know why, but I'm tempted right now. To open up to your community and say, I don't know why, but I'm really being tempted. I've got all these fantasies going on in my life. And will you help me figure out what's going on spiritually underneath? It's an opportunity for self-examination and vulnerability. It's an opportunity to be faithful to your spouse or your future spouse by keeping your mind healthy and uncluttered. And then ultimately, it's an opportunity to be faithful to God, to trust and obey in order to glorify him through self-control. And that's really what this is about. The chief end of man is to enjoy God and glorify him forever. Or glorify God and enjoy him forever. And when we talk about issues that don't really have a solid scriptural basis on them, that's really the litmus test that you use for whether or not something is permissible or beneficial in your life. And so I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 10:31 because I think this gives us a good foundation. So whether you eat or you drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And that's really the litmus test that I use on any issue. And so for this one, I would say, hey, is this activity, is this masturbation glorifying to God? Something I work through in my mind is, hey, if I were doing this, when the heavens were to open up and Jesus were to come, would he say, what are you doing? Or we say, well done, good and faithful servant. And I mean, that's reality, folks. And there are a few times where I can think that this would be permissible. Maybe you're married to a quadriplegic. Maybe you're infertile and you're trying to do artificial insemination. Maybe your spouse is on deployment And through, you know, you video one another, and this is the way that you engage with one another and share your sexuality with one another. I don't know if those are all right or all wrong. And the reality is probably for some of you, those would be sin. And for others, it would not. But what I would say is you want to give some flexibility in Scripture because sexual desire is meant to push you towards oneness with your spouse. All right? That is glorifying to God. So use that litmus test. Is this glorifying to God? So realize who's the master of your domain. Realize that life within God's design is best. Recall that this is a common struggle. Share it with others. And take every opportunity to be transformed when temptation comes. Pray with me. Lord, I just pray that we would honor you with our bodies. Your design is intended to bless us, not to rob us. I pray that we glorify you in all that we do, and that whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, I pray that we would think and dwell on these things. To you be the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you.